This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
From an undisclosed broadcasting location.
This is a test. For the next 60 seconds, this station will conduct a test of the emergency broadcast system.
America, here comes the relief from the pain. Unapologetically, this is Lock and Load with Bill Frady.
Hour number two. This is Lock and Load. The NRA, with their financial firepower, which arose in part due to its large and loyal membership base, has long been one of the gun group's main sources of strength. And they have in recent years been facing a bit of a financial tsunami that all began to come to light in 2016 after the election. A swirl of disagreements with longtime business partners, accusations of waste and misspending, ballooning debt and lawsuits from the New York and Washington D.C. Attorney General have triggered one embarrassment after another. They tried to declare bankruptcy to cushion some of these blows, and that did not work. At this point, the threat of being forced by the authorities to shut down due to alleged improprieties is minimal, but has the NRA managed to weather its financial storm? A financial researcher, an accounting researcher rather, who focuses on financial performance of nonprofits, they've been studying the NRA finances throughout this crisis, and it's interesting to look at it. And the NRA financial picture is, as of early 2023, a mixed bag. Now, they have shored up their financial position over the last few years, but the way in which that financial recovery came about risks hemorrhaging the NRA's core supporters. Their financial trouble arose at the same time that scandalous aspects of the organization's woes, such as longtime NRA leader Wayne LaPierre's free yacht getaways and luxury suit purchases billed to an NRA contractor, were drawing public attention. Perhaps the best measure of a nonprofit's financial health is its unrestricted net assets. The money at their disposal after leaving out amounts it has to spend on activities promised to donors and what it owes to others. A multi-million-dollar unrestricted net asset reserve for an organization the size of the NRA can provide financial security. On the other hand, a negative reserve is typically a sign of serious trouble. Now, the NRA's reserve was negative at the end of 2017, with a deficit of more than $30 million, a sure sign of the troubles already underway. Such a negative balance indicated that after satisfying donor promises, the organization owes more money to others than the value of its assets. It didn't get better in the following 2 years at all. They approached nearly $50 million in negativity as far as net asset deficit in 2019. And this degree of weakness even led to the organization to suggest that it risked imminent failure. But there was time for a turnaround. And that's what happened. In 2020, the NRA slashed its unrestricted net asset deficit by over $38 million. Ironically, it was shortly after pulling off this market improvement that it filed unsuccessfully for bankruptcy. And this financial resurgence continued in 2021, with the organization reporting it had eliminated its unrestricted net asset deficit, building up a surplus of over $10 million, when also including the money set aside for specific uses stipulated by donors. The group's net assets, the NRA's total available funds, reached over $75 million. Now, these developments may seemingly bode well for their ability to withstand their continuing financial troubles, but below the surface, there is an ominous trend. But let's do a little forensics. How did they get on a steadier financial footing? It wasn't through growth. Their revenue declined in 2020 by 4% from $296 million to $284 million, even without taking inflation into account. Revenue fell another 18% to under $234 million in 2021. Instead, it cut many core programs, including education and training, field services, law enforcement initiatives, and recreational shooting. Now, cost cutting can help stabilize faltering companies or nonprofits, depending on which costs they cut. The NRA's over 4 million dues-paying members may tolerate lean spending only on certain things and only for so long. What the NRA spent on programs fell by $45 million, more than a 35% decline in 2020. The organization was quick to attribute the change to the nation's response to the COVID-19 pandemic, which everybody seems to blame. But program spending declined even further in 2021, when life began to return to normal, especially for gun enthusiasts. The NRA spent just $75 million on its programs in 2021, nearly $53 million less than it had 2 years earlier. And it didn't cut all costs during those lean years. Administrative spending in the legal, audit, and taxes category skyrocketed from just over $4 million in 2017 to almost $47 million in 2021. And much of this reflects the money NRA paid for its various legal entanglements, largely in fees, to their new legal team. What once was a member-focused organization has quickly become an organization whose primary growth area is legal fees. And though they apparently shored up their bottom line, the financial neglect of programs like firearms training and competitions and field services could ultimately disappoint its members and donors. They've also seen membership dues decline in the past several years, with a loss of more than 1 million members since the start of the crisis. And there's a risk of a downward spiral, lower revenue leading to less spending on programs, which leads to further declines on member dues, donations, and so on. The full NRA financial filing for 2022 is not yet available, but there are early signs that it may have been a turning point. Journalist Stephen Gutkowski has reported in The Reload that NRA membership declines meant that even with its most lean spending profile, the organization was poised to end 2022 at a loss. I believe that with fewer members and fewer items left to cut, the NRA may take more drastic steps in the years ahead. And as with 2022 having been an election year, prime time for the NRA to take center stage, declining funds prevented an all-out political spending blitz. And it may have seemed like the NRA would suddenly implode due to their weak finances. Its decline today is more of a slow burn than diminishing its scale and threatens its future. And the growth of other program groups like Gun Owners of America, Second Amendment Foundation, poses further risk for a shrinking NRA. It is the opinion of the guys who were looking at this and analyzing this that their risky strategy of cutting program costs while spending more on legal battles could portend a further and continued weakening of the organization in the years ahead. We will see. Without a doubt, the other gun rights organizations are capitalizing on it, and they're actually taking more of a role in what normally has been the NRA's territories, being leading lobbyists for gun rights. For the first time in many moons, Gun Owners of America actually has state representatives, which, to my knowledge, they've never had. Second Amendment Foundation, of course, has always been pretty strong. They've always, Gottlieb has always had them in a different trajectory, and now he brought in Adam Kraut, and he's hiring some other people to delegate a few things too. They are expanding while they're also expanding their reach. So, interesting times in the 2A, in the 2A world, as far as the advocates that are out here trying to make sure things stay good. One of them is ailing. Pay attention to them. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
We'll At Spikes Tactical, we are all shooters with a very simple mission. Make the best product we can perfect at the best possible price for our consumers. We strive to produce the best components and rifles available, with quality control second to none, because real-world events don't allow for a second chance. Whether you are an operator, competitor, or home defender, Spikes Tactical will serve you well. Go to SpikesTactical.com. Spikes Tactical, 100% American-made to the highest standard.
Operate. At Staccato, we know there's no such thing as a fair fight, and we bring the unfair advantage that is the 2011 platform.
Dominate.
At Staccato, we know the most important gun you own is the one that you're carrying when you're facing that threat to life and freedom.
Win.
We want you to enter that objective confident that you are carrying the best gun in the gunfight. No compromise. No sacrifice. Staccato2011.com. Stand ready to face down the darkness with 2011.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Longevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Longevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
No matter where you live, what you make, or who you voted for, there are some things that will impact all of us soon. Whether you're concerned about extreme weather, the alarming increase in man-made disasters, or worsening food shortages, Americans are preparing in numbers not seen since World War II. What's changed is how we prepare, and the folks at My Patriot Supply have made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind, knowing you're ready for what's next. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on their popular 3-month emergency food kit. They include tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners with over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit per person. For a limited time, save $200 plus get free shipping on your 3-month supply at MyPatriotSupply.com. Too many Americans are being let down by institutions we used to trust. It's time to rely on ourselves. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Welcome back. This is Lock and Load. Guilt is a very powerful emotion, so powerful, in fact, that an American city is considering impoverishing itself and future generations of its citizens in order to at least have the appearance of absolving themselves of guilt, achieve some kind of perceived redemption, and display for all the world its exemplary virtue as it atones for a wrong that no one in the city either committed or experienced. California became a state in 1850, just 11 years before the first shots of the Civil War were fired at Fort Sumter. The Golden State was never a slave state, and no one alive in San Francisco today has even a grandparent who was enslaved, let alone one who owned a slave anywhere else in America. Still, a plan is currently under serious consideration to spend about $200 billion to compensate the city's black population for a historical atrocity none of them were subject to and no one in the city was responsible for. The city of San Francisco has about 46,000 black residents today. That compares to a total population of roughly 820,000 people. The most current proposal for a reparations program would pay each eligible black citizen a lump sum of $5 million and $97,000 per year for the next 250 years. I guess they live a lot longer in San Francisco. What's more, 34% of San Francisco's population are immigrants. They have no personal or ancestral connection whatsoever to America's slave-owning or Jim Crow past, yet the city's progressive leaders are working hard to appropriate their tax dollars for the next 2.5 centuries to make up for the wrongs committed more than 150 years ago, but not in San Francisco. How serious are they? Well, this week the San Francisco City Council proposed establishing a new $50 million city bureaucracy whose job it would be to qualify individuals applying for the reparations program. Because what good is having a multi-billion dollar, multi-generational entitlement if there's no opportunity for taxpayer-funded jobs and a little bit of graft? Think of San Francisco's newest department as administering may issue reparations. And nobody knows if any of this is going to come to pass, but we shouldn't bet against it. But then again, maybe San Franciscans will decide they're not only, you know, they're not only not responsible for the fit of progressive guilt the city council is trying to salve, but they're also not willing to pay out huge piles of tax dollars over the next 250 years for the far left's monastic psychic expiation. But while you guys are thinking about this now, if you guys are real serious about this, if we're going to, if you want to get into the business of righting past wrongs, there's a doozy that's only just beginning to be turned around. Consider the fact that tens of millions of New Yorker City residents have been deprived of their constitutional right to keep and bear arms for well over a century, including almost every New Yorker living in the city to this very day. New York passed the Sullivan Act in 1911, mandating police-issued permits for firearms small enough to carry. For over a century, may-issue government carry permits were, by design, notoriously difficult to obtain unless the applicant was wealthy, well-connected, or willing to grease the right palms. Average citizens, of whom there's about 8.5 million in the Big Apple today, have been effectively disarmed and left to fend for themselves since before the Titanic, went under the surface of the ocean. They've been deprived by government of the exercise of an enumerated civil right, keeping and bearing arms for generations. Thankfully, that historic wrong began to be righted last year when the Supreme Court handed down their Bruin decision. And as Justice Thomas wrote in his opinion, the constitutional right to bear arms in public for self-defense is not a second-class right, subject to an entirely different body of rules than the other Bill of Rights guarantees. The exercise of other constitutional rights does not require individuals to demonstrate to government officers some special need. The Second Amendment right to carry arms in public for self-defense is no different. New York's proper cause requirement violates the 14th Amendment by preventing law-abiding citizens with ordinary self-defense needs from exercising their right to keep and bear arms in public. But that's exactly what they have done in New York for decades. Decade after decade. This is a commonly known as deprivation of civil rights under color of law. You know, if you want to get out there and use the official term. And these are the kind of cases that are frequently brought against cops who shoot suspects, especially if the shootings are later determined to be reasonable by local officials. Now, in the case of New York's Sullivan Law, the city has been depriving New Yorkers of their constitutionally protected civil right to bear arms since early in the last century. The city fought tooth and nail to keep its egregious May issue non-licensing scheme in place against challenges for decades until the court finally brought the whole thing down, calling it the unconstitutional violation it has always been. Federal law has protections against this kind of thing, like 42 U.S. Code 1983. Every person who, under color of any statute, ordinance, regulation, custom, or usage of any state or territory or District of Columbia subjects, or causes to be subjected any citizen of the United States or other person within the jurisdiction thereof to the deprivation of any rights, privileges, or immunities secured by the Constitution and laws shall be liable to the party injured in an action at law, suit in equity, or other proper proceeding for redress, except that in any action brought against a judicial officer for an act or omission taken in such officer's judicial capacity, injunctive relief shall not be granted unless a declaratory decree was violated or declaratory relief was unavailable. Now, anybody there is free to, avail themselves of the court systems and the court processes, and they can try to get just compensation for the rights for which they've been deprived. But given that the group of aggrieved citizens in the New York includes, well, every law-abiding adult, it seems that a more comprehensive, far-reaching remedy may be necessary. What's called for here is a comprehensive program to compensate the city's citizens for the decades of oppression the city willfully imposed upon them. So, this is a good case for reparations. And the question then is how much? The proposal San Francisco is considering seems extreme, especially given the fact that no one living there actually participated in the wrong, either as a perpetrator or a victim. And New Yorkers, on the other hand, have all been affected by the city's ongoing campaign to deprive them of their rights. So I think they should get like some big, some Visa cards and a $25,000 lump sum just cause. And they should all be issued concealed carry permits at no cost, forthwith. Or maybe they should declare themselves to be a constitutional carry state. Maybe some judge should impose that upon them. And I'm sure, pretty sure the Supreme Court would just let that happen. But they would be good with that. They'd be like, okay, this satisfies everything we've been talking about up to this point. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
Garand Tactical Innovations is the ultimate one-stop shop for all your competition, law enforcement, and military needs. Home of the weapons of WIC. Now featuring the new Pit Viper. Terran is the one who trained, the one, and he is Hollywood's go-to for taking the weapons and training to the next level. His legacy of championship wins, spanning across decades, is due to his uncompromising dedication to perfection. These innovations are now offered to you at TerranTactical.com.
At Chambers Custom, we have one job. We strive to build the most obsessively reliable, accurate, and beautiful pistols for the discriminating gun owner. Using the ageless 1911 design with a 21st century approach to each part and component, Chambers Custom meticulously begins each pistol as a standalone project, creating a bespoke, handcrafted, peerless firearm. They integrate all of the internal, external, and intrinsic elements that make a custom 1911 unique. Go to ChambersCustom.com. Chambers Custom, truly the mechanical advantage.
USA News Update. Officials in Shelby County, Tennessee, have voted to reinstate ousted State House member Justin Pearson.
Keep the fight together. Yeah. Throw the message for all the people in Nashville who decided to expel us. You can't expel hope. Yeah.
He was reappointed to the seat he was removed from last week after taking part in a protest against gun violence on the House floor. Irish police lost a sensitive document ahead of President Biden's speech in Northern Ireland. A U.S. law enforcement official says a local resident found the document, which detailed sensitive security information related to Biden's visit. And inflation is slowing down in the United States. The latest Consumer Price Index report from the Labor Department says inflation slowed to 5% in March. That's down from 6% in February, with prices for both gas and groceries falling. John Schaefer, USA News.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
Welcome back. This is Lock and Load. I'm wondering how the gun control zealots are going to handle this one, because recently the L.A. District Attorney George Gascon had to be shamed into doing his job to protect his community from a would-be school shooter. He refused to bring charges against a teen who had allegedly posted threats against the school on social media and was allegedly caught carrying stolen guns. He has a team of lawyers. His team of lawyers claimed there wasn't enough information of the criminal threat. But he was caught allegedly carrying two stolen pistols, body armor, magazines that are banned in California, and ammunition when police arrested him. But the social media company had not yet turned over information requested by detectives. I don't know who they're talking about. His team, Gascon's team, rejected the case. That was until Bell Gardens, California Police Chief Scott Fairfield demanded the case be reviewed for criminal charges. Deputy District Attorney Jonathan Hatami said George Gascon refuses to prosecute juveniles in possession of firearms. Other prosecutors are saying that George Soros-backed district attorney has a policy of not bringing firearm-related charges to juveniles. Okay. Now, that's alarming to those of us that look at the firearm industry who've heard from gun control politicians that when their favorite gun control initiatives aren't supported, they launch outlandish attacks against the firearm industry. Like Chris Murphy of Connecticut, Senator. He said the Republicans don't give a crap about kids or criminal misuse of firearms. California Governor Gavin Newsom said the Second Amendment is becoming a suicide pact after heinous murders in Monterey Park, California. He's made a big show of his law, since struck down, of holding firearm manufacturers responsible for the crimes committed by others. But he has nothing at all to say, apparently, about his own district attorneys not holding criminals accountable. Now, Gavin Newsom endorsed Gascon for office when he ran in 2020, only to turn around in 2022 to say, I don't know enough about the job he's done. I'm deeply concerned about the criticism. And this was while he was facing a recall, the second one he ultimately survived. And his tough talk, act on nothing shtick is hardly a secret. He's dutifully parroted all the gun control platitudes, and when it comes to holding criminals accountable, though, he jumps out of the window all that. From Twitter, heartbroken mother of cop shot dead by career criminal on probation for prior gun charge hits out at woke LADA. In 2021, Gascon defended a diversion program that allowed criminal offenders to still have access to firearms. State law, a law for criminals to stay off the prohibited persons list from crimes that were downgraded from felonies to misdemeanors, which included hate crimes, carrying a loaded gun with the intent of committing a felony, transporting a machine gun, possession of a deadly weapon with intent to assault, and assault with a deadly weapon. He was forced to walk back his no-bail policies last year as crime rates in L.A. skyrocketed. He praised Newsom for signing more gun control legislation, even as he released a murderer from prison after serving only 6 years of a 50-year sentence. And that prisoner was rearrested within a week of release on gun and DUI charges. gosh. Two L.A. police officers were shot and killed by gang members in 2022 after being released on downgraded charges by D.A. Gascon's office. Those felony firearm charges would have kept them locked up. Because of his policy of not pursuing gun-related charges, they walked out to murder police. So, veteran prosecutor John Lewin, he told the Washington Examiner, how can George Gascon have the nerve to talk about needing new gun laws when he refuses to endorse the ones we already have? If you want to deter criminals from using guns, punish them for doing it. That's why we have gun enhancements. The idea is that you want to increase the penalty so much for using a gun in a crime that the criminals decide to leave them at home. But that only works if you actually do that. That only works if you actually do that. And it raises the serious question of how this man still has a job. Because his job is, after all, prosecuting criminals. And here's why he's still getting a paycheck funded by taxpayers. He says all the right things when it comes to gun control that Californian politicians want to hear. Never mind the criminals. Gascon is on board with punishing law-abiding citizens. He vocally supported the introduction of the Bipartisan Background Checks Act, legislation that would usher in universal background checks, which are impossible without a national firearms registry, and that, of course, is still against federal law. He also supported the Enhanced Background Checks Act, legislation that would have allowed delayed background checks to get caught in an endless delay loop, essentially prohibiting gun purchase because it couldn't be approved. We saw that happening in Oregon. He praised Newsom for signing more gun control laws and bills into law last summer. He pressured credit card companies to bar the use of their cards for firearm component parts. Which, when you look at these things, there's no way for them to tell that what you're buying at any given time. So, instead, what we have now is you just don't ask him to use any of the laws already on the books. Before the teen with guns and body armor and social media school threat postings was finally charged, Gascon's policies cost two people their lives. An adult and a 16-year-old were shot and killed by another adult and youth. One suspect had been previously arrested on gun charges when he was a juvenile, but Gascon's office dismissed them. The policy, no gun charges for juveniles, is deadly. Demanding more gun control and refusing to hold criminals, accountable, that's a failed strategy. But it's also a criminal enterprise, the way this is being undertaken, because what they're doing essentially is they're putting these animals back out on the street And these guys are going out and killing more people as time goes on. This will continue until they remove him. It's going to continue in California for a while anyway. And that's the saddest thing. I mean, when I sit here and I say things, one of the saddest things out there that I think of is the fact that there's an entire state of people, which is called the Golden State, that is basically consigned to misery and crime on a regular basis, all the time, because with every law they pass, they don't actually apply them to criminals. All the laws they pass now, as far as gun control is concerned, is aimed at law-abiding citizens in California. While you drink that in. If you're not sitting in California, you should be sitting around going, thank God I don't live in California. It's a shame. It is an absolute shame. And at the same time, one of the hardest parts about this is you sit there and at some point we have to look at these instances in these municipalities and we have to take them for what they are, which is, in fact, this guy got recalled and managed to survive the recall, and that means somebody wanted to keep him in place. Who wanted to keep him in place? He was doing all of the gun control platitudes and everything else, but he withstood a recall. His boy, Chase Bodine in San Francisco, did not withstand the recall. So, just makes you wonder. Sometimes, unfortunately, you get the government that you deserve. That's sad. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs Generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com. And an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Welcome back. This is Lock and Load. Florida's quest for full-blown constitutional carry, which means open carry, concealed carry, whichever way you want to carry without having to get a permit from the state to do it, that has gone down in flames. Their quest for this garnered the attention of the nation's pro-gun movement, and it caused a lot of issues for the gun ban industry, you see. Now, 25 states have already passed constitutional carry. So Florida, when it passes in Florida, it becomes the majority state, which terrifies those opposed to your civil rights. Two bills are rocketing through the state legislature in Tallahassee. HB 543 and SB 150, with Governor Ron DeSantis, has promised to sign whatever the Republican supermajority in the legislature can get to his desk. But neither one of those bills allows for the open carry of arms, which is considered to be a crucial component of traditional permitless carry, constitutional carry. Therefore, most Floridians refer to the bills as unlicensed concealed carry. And to be clear, every pro-gun group in the state, the NRA, GOA, NAGR, and Florida Carry, Inc., all support the legislation because it is the largest restoration of our gun rights since 1987, and all of them wish it included open carry. Florida State Representative Mike Beltran, a Republican who represents parts of Hillsborough and Manatee counties, tried to fix the House bill by adding an open carry amendment. He is a target shooter and a Second Amendment supporter. And, well, his amendment, it could have caused a multitude of problems, and it could have brought down everything. Now, nobody knows where Beltran got the language for his amendment, but it would have required open carriers to have a level 2 or greater retention device holster. This would make Florida the only state in the country where the government tells gun owners what type of holster they must use, and the penalty for using the wrong holster would have been a felony. Imagine getting stopped by police and charged with a felony because your holster does not comply with state law. And even worse, the amendment does not define what a level 2 retention device even was. And there are other issues with Beltran's well-intentioned amendment. It would have made it illegal, another felony, to carry a stun gun without a Florida Concealed Weapon or Firearm License, or CWFL. But the biggest concern was what would have happened in the state Senate. Because there, state Senate President Kathleen Passidomo does not support open carry. Now, she said that she does not support open carry because the Florida Sheriff's Association does not support open carry. She said, "I will support what the sheriffs of this state, who are the experts, support. I don't know one end of a gun from another, so I certainly want to support the experts. The reality is this bill basically says you do not need the government's permission to carry your weapon. That, in my mind, is constitutional carry." If she's not a gun person, like you, for example, then, in her mind, that may in fact be the case. If the bill made it to the state Senate with Beltran's open carry amendment intact, Passidomo could have made sure it died a quick death. So, the amendment was withdrawn this past Wednesday. Then, there's the firearm trainers. There's been some pushback from the firearm trainers. And when I say the trainers, what I'm talking about is the people that you go to get your concealed carry permit. And in Florida, they have raised a little cane over this. They are worried that an end to state mandated training will hurt them financially. And unfortunately, Florida is not immune from this short-sighted attitude. Because a permit... And I don't know how it is in Florida. See, in South Carolina, my permit, which we don't have constitutional carry in South Carolina, and if we had constitutional carry in South Carolina, yes, I would carry my gun until I got my permit, because when you get a permit in South Carolina, you don't have to, one, go through background checks, and two, you can go into other states and carry a gun because of reciprocity. Scott Grant is a retired Pasco County, Florida, deputy sheriff and owner of Tactical Decisions and Training. For more than a decade, he's taught a concealed weapons course that satisfies the state training requirement for the permit in Florida. And he appeared on a local ABC television news affiliate to express his concerns about the current legislation. He said, "To be able to drive, we test you on that before we give you a license. To get married, you need a license. To get divorced, if you have a child, you have to take a class. To operate a boat, firearm is more dangerous than any of those." Lee Williams, who you hear on this air, on occasion, very frequently, he interviewed him a few days after his television appearance and asked him why he believed his bank account was more important than our civil rights. Grant said, "It doesn't have anything to do with my bank account," adding that he trained people for free. He clarifies this by explaining he did not charge veterans, law enforcement, or domestic violence victims. But for everybody going to get a permit in Florida, he did have to pay for their training. Grant said other trainers have appeared on TV to express their concerns about the unlicensed concealed carry bills. He added that he is a firearm safety expert, and then he split. He ended the interview. Said, "I don't think we're going to continue this conversation. It doesn't seem like it will be pleasant for me. I believe everyone should be armed. Everyone should be armed with training, whether they get it from me or someone else." Gotcha. I talked earlier about the San Francisco insanity. I'm sorry, the proposal for reparations, and this has now become a part of the United States' endless conversation about race as we continue the ID politics. And slavery was ended in the United States in 1865, 158 years ago or so. So no white person alive today in the United States is guilty of being a slave owner. And none of the black Americans alive today, thankfully, have ever been slaves. At least not in America, but let that pass. This is not the elephant in the room. The elephant that no black activist is willing to admit exists is the fact that black slave owners existed. And how can they admit that? Because they're demanding millions of dollars for blacks in San Francisco on the ground that black Americans in San Francisco have suffered from slavery. But it doesn't fit the narrative, to ponder that there were many black Americans back in the day who owned slaves. It's inconvenient to bring up Anthony Johnson, the father of American slavery, a black man who demanded that a court bind his black indentured servant, John Kasor, a slave for life. The court obliged Mr. Johnson, and American slavery was born. It's even more inconvenient to bring up that many black Americans who owned slaves all through the South. Nobody demanding reparations for the black people who want to admit that black people owned slaves. In each of the original 13 colonies in every state that allowed slavery right up to the Civil War. In Virginia, black people could even obtain white indentured servants. Doesn't that sort of complicates things, doesn't it? What would happen to reparations for slavery if a black applying for money was found to be descended from, say, John Carruthers Stanley, a black man in North Carolina who had 3 plantations and 163 slaves? Or Andrew Durnford, a sugar planter in Louisiana who owned 77 slaves. Black women were also slave owners. Sally Seymour built up a hugely successful pastry business in Charleston, South Carolina, with slave labor. When she died, her daughter Eliza inherited both the business and the slaves. So there's the elephant in the reparations room. Should white people who had nothing to do with slavery in the United States have to pay reparations to the descendants of black slave owners? And what about the risk of paying reparations to the descendants of slave owners and slave dealers in Africa? Such a transaction would be like Russia demanding reparations from Ukraine for the soldiers who were killed in invading the country. You know, just a little FYI. For those of you, if you have any friends in San Francisco, tell them about all those people I just told you about. I mean, it's out there. It's public knowledge. It's easily found. Hour number 3 is inbound. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
At MGS, we have what it takes to reinvent yourself. With a curriculum designed to balance work, family, and a gun repair education, MGS provides the gateway into one of the fastest-growing segments of the gun industry. Modern Gun School's mission is to provide high-quality distance education using time-tested materials and hands-on projects designed to develop a proficiency in both the technique and the business of gunsmithing. Go to mgs.edu. MGS Trade School. Your future is waiting.
For over 25 years, Arrow Precision has paved the way as a leading manufacturer of American-made AR parts. Arrow Precision caters to the rifle builder by engineering quality receivers, handguards, and other essential parts. Arrow Precision's added enhancements create a smooth build process from start to finish for beginners and seasoned builders.
Whether this is your first rifle or your 50th,
Arrow Precision offers everything you need to make a quality AR at an affordable price.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com, gcnfood.com.